Let's turn to Luke chapter 22, verse 31. Luke chapter 22, verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. I entitled this message, Watch Out for the Devil. Holy, righteous, heavenly Father, I come before you.
Yes, Lord, help us.
Help us now, Lord. Lord, I just ask you, may you please give me boldness, courage, and just your wisdom, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
And your mighty love and grace, Lord. And I also ask you, Lord, please be here, walk among us, Lord. Or just,
yes, Lord.
Like Pastor said before, this is pointless then. We might as well be watching TV, Lord. Might as well be home, Lord.
Yes.
But, Lord, we need you. Not just me and Mike, but everyone that's here, people who's watching, they need you, Lord. And not just here, Lord, for tomorrow too, for service, Lord.
Yes.
I just ask you, Lord, please be here. We need you, Lord. I thank you again for allowing me to preach, Lord, for allowing me to have another day, Lord, that I don't deserve, Lord. Thank you for my wife and my family, for my brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you again. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
I look at the word sift mean. The word sift means to pass through, to survey, to so as to separate the core from the fine particles, to inspect, to examine with care as by testing or questioning the weight. So we see here, Satan desires to sift all of us.
Yeah.
If we belong to God, he's going to try to trip us up,
Amen.
Mess with us one way or another. And we see here with Simon Peter, that's exactly what's happening. Satan wants you. He desires to trip you up. And I want to go through the how he does it. And we see here the desire. We see Satan's desire. He desires you. He desires what you stand for. He wants to see if he can trip you up and destroy your testimony one way or another. He desires to do whatever it needs to be to mess you up.
Amen.
But the amazing part is God allows this. Why? Because it helps strengthen us.
Right.
When trials and temptations come,
right,
increases our faith. One way or another, it helps us draw closer to God.
Yes.
And Satan doesn't get that. God uses us as a ploy to help us to get stronger.
Mm-hmm.
And Satan has no idea that he's being used by God.
Yes.
And that's the amazing part about this. But let's go to the desire, the sift, where he sifts you. Satan wants to see what you're made of. He wants to see where's your weak spots and nail you right there. And then and strip you. He wants to find any way to strip you of your peace, your testimony, in your faith.
Yeah.
He wants to destroy you, break you down to nothing. And that's where God wants you. Because that's when we're at the weakest, that's when he's the strongest.
That's right. Yeah.
That's when we look up to him that much more. See, Satan doesn't have a clue how God's playing him.
Right.
What do you think God allows Job to go what he went through, to draw closer? When it comes to us, unfortunately, I'm glad the Lord gave me this. Because it's helped me to draw that much closer to the Lord. Because this message, I really needed a lot. Because Satan's been sifting, all right? But, and how he strikes out, how he strikes out at for Christians who do backslide, to fall away when they are getting sifted, like Peter. Peter denied Christ three times.
Yeah.
But yet, God still wanted him.
Yep.
Talked to him several times. Peter, do you love me?
Amen.
Feed my sheep. And if you look right on verse 32 in Luke, as said, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith will not fail. And when thou art converted, means strengthen or come back, strengthen and strengthen the brethren. Once we hit the bottom and we come back to the Lord, say if we fall in sin, we're supposed to come back that much stronger for our brothers and sisters in Christ and tell them, like me, I fell away from the Lord for 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
I was beat down by Satan.
Mm-hmm.
But I came back, and I can tell you right now, if you have a problem with pornography, Jesus is the answer right now.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ will always be the answer for all of us. I can't explain it. When you're down, Jesus will always be there.
Yeah.
Because he loves you that much more. I mean, how much more proof? Look at the cross. How much more proof do you want that he loves you? with all the blood he shed for us,
yes,
from the whipping the cat of nine tails to the crown of thorns, marching up with the cross on his back,
mm-hmm,
then being re-robed after his wounds have been healed, and being unrobed, being reopened again, his wounds, bleeding all over again, and then being nailed.
Mm-hmm.
More blood pouring out. Then the Roman soldier's spearing. How much more love do you want from Jesus Christ, knowing that he loves you?
Amen.
Unfortunately, when Satan tempts you, when he messes with you, that's what he does. He starts playing with your mind.
Yes, he does.
I'll be honest. I've doubted.
Mm-hmm.
As a Christian, I'm telling you, as a preacher, I've doubted God. So, are you really here? Am I really alone here? At my job, I'm very discouraged half the time at my job. I said, Lord, where are you? I'm being honest. Where are you? And then, as soon as I open the Word, he says, I'm right here. Because Satan has our ears so messed up because he's too busy shouting, saying he's not there. He don't care about you. He don't want you. He don't want nothing to do with you. But yet, when you reopen the Word, it says, basically, I love you. That's what this I heard on Moody. Moody keeps saying this. I like what they say. This is a love story. The Bible's a love story for us. We're part of the greatest story ever told, and we're part of it because he saved us. And it's not just a story, a fictional story. It's a true story about each and every one of us, how God wants to deliver us, how he wants us to serve him, and also help deliver other people. God has a purpose for our lives. Even when we're being sifted, being sought down, brought down, he first strikes with our mind. He strikes with our hearts. He strikes with everything he has to mess with us. Here, first he tries to trap us. And if you look with me in verse in Genesis, chapter 37. Wrong one. Genesis 37, verse 23 and 24. We see here, and it came to pass when Joseph was come unto the brethren that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him, and they took him and cast him into the pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. Satan will do everything he can to trap you. And unfortunately, he can use your family too to try to do it. Try to stumble you, mess you up. We see here, they first try to trap you this way, then he does it another way. After they decide not to kill him, they turn around and sold him. And he got stuck in Egypt. And then if you look with me in chapter 39, verse 7, and it came to pass after these things that master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master ought not with what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither that I kept back my kept anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. Now then, can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And it came to pass, as she spoke to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her, to lie by her, or to be with her. This kept going, time after it goes on to verse 12, where it's basically flat out going, where he had to run from her. This is how Satan works. He'll keep coming after you, until you decide, enough's enough, I'm out of here. That's what's going to take. You run to the Lord. He ran away from sin. When you can't handle sin no more, we got to go to the Lord. You go through the Word and through prayer.
Amen.
And without this, we can't do nothing. Jesus, how did he fight the Satan? With the Holy Word.
That's right.
When he was being tempted.
Good.
We need to stay focused when we are being sifted. Because Satan's looking for any weakness whatsoever. We see here the temptation through his master's wife. And we see here the trap. And we see also the trick. If you go to Genesis chapter 3, I'm just going to go over it real quick. Basically, Satan messed with Eve. Basically, said, God didn't say that, if you surely die if you eat of this fruit. And when you not be, and then goes on in verse 5, it says, you'd be like God if you bite this. He'll sit there and mess with the words, what God said, and saying, God didn't say that. Well, didn't Jesus make water into wine, so isn't it all right for you to have drink? It's not what the Bible says. We got to stay focused on what the Lord says. What does the Lord, if you're questioning what the Lord says, blow off the dust off your Bible, open it up, and see what it says. We got to stay focused on what the Lord says. And if you still can't find what you're looking for, Pastor's here, Dennis is here, I'm here, Mike and Stevie is here. We can answer any question you want. If we can't, we'll find someone who can. It's as simple as that. We know people. We know Gary Moore. He'll sit there and I call him the brainiac, but we have help in each other. When we're down, we need to cry on each other's shoulders when we're down. The Lord wants us to stand with him. And that means as the brothers in Christ, we need to stand with each other. Because Christ ain't forsaking us. So why are we forsaking each other? We're both from the same blood. I'm talking about Jesus Christ's blood. Because we're covered by the blood. So we need to stay with the family and help each other out. Not bring us ourselves down. I'll be honest. I've let my mouth go, oh, she's stupid. She shouldn't have did that. Or he did that and he's stupid. No, instead of bringing people down, we should be praying and kneeling on our knees and praying for them. So Lord, help them open their eyes. Show them what they're doing is wrong. And if we have to, confront them. The Bible says that as well. We can't be a little coward and say, oh, this will take care of itself. No, sometimes you have to confront. That means you have to have courage. But make sure you have wisdom when you're doing it with grace. You always have grace in everything you do. But also want to look at also how he flats out, like I said already, here he deceives. But also after when you deceive, once you're thinking like Eve did, that she sent, that she could become like God, now the morals are gone. There's no morals. Like I looked up amoral because I was looking up what this commentary was saying about what amoral means, and I couldn't figure out what amoral means. I looked up in the dictionary, and it means basically nothing's black and white no more. It's the shades of gray. It means basically as long as you're not killing nobody, you ain't murdering nobody, you ain't hurting me, it's okay. Leave me alone. Like homosexuality. It's okay. You ain't bugging me. It's okay. No, it's not okay. It's going to destroy you if you keep going this way. If you keep lying, keep stealing, keep murdering, it's going to destroy you. It's going to destroy everyone around you.
Yep.
Like I learned statistics about homosexuals about AIDS. 61% of homosexuals has AIDS. Living this lifestyle destroys you. This is not just biblical. It's also scientific fact. It destroys. You can't reproduce. So how can a people grow if there's no one reproducing? So it doesn't make sense to go down that road. And plus, I've been told by people who deals with people with homosexuality, they're very depressed a lot. They're taking drugs left and right, depressants. Try to get over their situation. If you want to get over it, come to Jesus. Turn away from your sins and follow him. Accept him as Lord and Savior. If you want to stop being depressed, follow Jesus. He'll give you joy beyond joy than you could possibly imagine. I mean, I don't know what else to say, but we got to start sticking with it. It's not just that. It's talking about lying. If you're a constant liar, you're a thief, you're a murderer, God hates all of it. It doesn't matter if you're gay. It doesn't matter if you're a liar. It doesn't matter if you're a thief. He wants you to come to him. Amen. Accept him as Lord and Savior. Repent. Just keep following him. Pick up that cross and follow him. But we're not doing that. But also, and we see in the destruction. In John chapter 10:10, we see what the devil does, flat out does. We see here in 10:10, it says, the thief cometh not by, not but for to steal and not to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. We've seen the first part, flat out part, where it says Satan destroys. He does all he wants to do. He wants to steal your joy, destroy everything you got from your family, to your faith, and to fruit in which you bear. Because remember, we don't produce the fruit, we just bear it. He's going to destroy your fruit as well. Where someone else could pick off you and eat. We got to stay focused. Because look at King David alone. What did King David do? He had an affair. caused basically a civil war because of his family went crazy because leading to his affair, because of his sin,
yeah.
And caused a civil war with his people. It affects everyone. Sin affects everybody. Amen. It is simple as that. We need to stay focused on the Lord. Without the Lord, we can't do nothing.
Right.
It is simple as that.
Right.
We can't even pick up the cross. We have no strength then if we're not following the Lord. We'll just start going, and then finally we just fall over because we have no strength. We can't do it. We can't keep. Could you imagine carrying something like that around? We can't do it. But with Jesus Christ, we can do all things.
Right.
We can do all things. And this is the whole point here. We need to stay focused. When Satan comes roaring like a mighty roaring lion, we got to stay focused and just keep bearing that cross. Keep the shield of faith up. Having the whole body armor of Christ on and keep going forward. When he sifts you, we got to stay focused. And if we know someone who's being sifted and who's being brought down and failing, we have to lift them up.
Right.
We have to lift them up. And then we see here where he tries to, where the devil will try to devour you, basically eat you up like a lion. We see here it says 1 Peter 5:8. I was going to say it, but then I forgot it. Be sober, be vigilant, because our adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He will devour not just your family, your testimony, but he'll also devour your time and your talents as well.
Yeah.
He will devour everything we got, and we'll be left with nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said before, that's how God wants it. That's how we'll draw that much closer to him. But that's only for a Christian. If you're not saved and you're going to hell, it doesn't matter. Only thing that you can do right now is accept Christ as Lord and Savior. If you do not do that, you won't have help. All you're doing is going to be cast in the lake of fire forever and ever. But Jesus did send you somebody. He sent you Lord Jesus Christ, who died for you a little over 2,000 years ago. And he sent you, hopefully somebody has came and witnessed to you, or someone here and witnessed to you, hand you a track, went Romans Road, or whatever way they did, and explained the gospel to you.
Amen.
This is how you get saved, is through Jesus and Jesus alone. Jesus said you must repent, turn away, and accept him as Lord and Savior, as the Son of God who rose from the grave. This is your chance now to accept him as your Lord and Savior. Christian, if you've fallen when you're being sifted, and you've fallen short like Peter did, just like I have, just like I'm sure probably almost every person here has failed, come to Christ. This is the whole purpose of the Bible. He does not want you to be alone. He don't want you to be left in the wilderness, being starving, being destroyed. He wants you to come out and be with him, where he'll take care of you, love you, teach you, robe you as royalty, as unto himself. It's like, you're part of my family now. I adopted you. Be a part of me. And like I said before, there's only one that can deliver you, and that's Jesus. He can deliver you from Satan. He can also deliver you unto salvation. And he can also deliver you in this service at this moment. The person who's watching right now might not be saved. What do you want? You want to go to hell, or you want to go to heaven? Or those who are Christian but have fallen away from the Lord because you were sifted like Peter and denied Jesus. You can come now and come back and repent because it says in 1 John 1 John verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. As if you're a Christian. If you're falling away from the Lord, if you allow the Satan to beat you up, bring you down, he's faithful and just to forgive you. If you just come to him right now, humble yourself. Take away the pride. Don't let bitterness stand in your way. Fall on your knees and repent and turn away. This is the very thing we need to do. That's one thing I've learned, unfortunately, the hard way. Fall on my knees. It's as simple as that. Take away the pride and humble yourself. Christian and unbeliever, you have to do that to move on. You need to stay focused. You need to stay on Jesus. Without Him, He's the key to everything that we do. If we can't do this, what's the point? But Jesus said there is a point. I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Amen.
Only way you come to the Father is by me. Come.
Amen.
And that's the point. He said He wants you to have everlasting life. He don't want you to be wasted and be just thrown in hell. He wants you. Like Uncle Sam back in World War II says He wants you. Jesus Christ wants you. He 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 wants everybody. He doesn't want to see no one perish. He wants to see the whole world get saved. People says God's a hateful God. He's not a fair God. How much more fair do you want? His Son died for you. He took your wrath. He took God's wrath upon Himself. When you deserved the wrath yourself. We deserved it. No one else deserved it but we. But Jesus took it. He became sin for us. When we didn't deserve it. We deserve hell. That's all we deserve. But yet God turned around and showed us love. Love. I still can't grasp. I still don't understand. I don't understand why God would waste the time with a wretch like me. But God did. That's why it's amazing that we do have an advocate, Jesus Christ, to sit there when the devil does come knocking on God's door and say, hey, this genius just messed up. He just looks at him, says, Jesus just raises his hand and says, peace be still. He's covered by the blood. That's how wonderful our God is. And I'll just end this in prayer. If you're down and you're letting Satan beat you up because you've forgotten that you need trust in Jesus, that means reading the Word, praying, being vigilant, come now, ask for repentance, and turn away and pick up that cross again. Jesus is waiting for you. Just come now. And if you're not saved, come now. Because Christ is waiting for you. He wants to adopt you to His family. He wants to save you from hell itself, from destruction. Holy, righteous, Heavenly Father, I just ask You now, may You help us now. May You lead us, guide us, and direct us in all things, Lord. I ask You, may You lead these people here, Lord. I ask You now, help us, Lord. We need You, Lord. We need Your courage. We need Your boldness. We need Your strength, Lord. And mainly, if you're not saved, they need Your salvation, Lord. I have neighbors that's I know for a fact going to hell, Lord. I ask You, please save Jimmy and Jim Davis, Lord. I ask You, save my coworkers, Nam Tran, Charlie Coleman, my boss, Don Sarn, Lord. I ask You, Lord, now to move quickly, Lord, to save these people. Save my family members, my loved ones. I ask You now, Lord, just move. I ask You, please, Lord, move. Save these people, Lord, and save my brothers and sisters in Christ who's being up and belligerent.